One Man's Family, brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer and many other fine, dependable pharmaceutical products. Overheard between Hazel and Pinky in their living room.
You haven't yet told me very much about Eunice, Pinky. I don't care about her cars or the yacht or the swimming pool. What about Eunice?
Tall.
What?
She's tall, Mom. But let's not discuss it anymore. Her father's going to be here to talk about our marriage any minute now, and I want to be calm.
Mm-hmm. So that's how it is with the barbers today. When you find at bedtime something you've eaten is causing your stomach to feel upset, uncomfortable with acid indigestion, well, there's no need to let this common ailment rob you of a good night's sleep. Just remember to take Alka-Seltzer before you go to bed. That's right. Drop one or two Alka-Seltzer tablets in a glass of water and drink this before you go to bed. Alka-Seltzer will relieve that uncomfortable feeling of acid indigestion in your stomach, so you'll sleep better and wake up feeling better next morning. That's a real tip, friends, so remember it, won't you? Take Alka-Seltzer before you go to bed. Where there's Alka-Seltzer, there's a way to fast relief from acid indigestion. Chapter 15, Book 80. Hazel Barber Murray, sitting at the dressing table in her own bedroom, gives a final pat to her hair, swirls her dress before the mirror, and thinks, sometimes being a parent calls for more than judgment, more than intelligence, more than talent. It calls for genius. Now she starts downstairs, where in the living room, her son Pinky, looking very spruce and combed, is watching out the window. Eunice's father, Oliver Higby, phoned an hour ago to say he was driving over from Belvedere, arriving at 4:15 for a little talk with Pinky. The boy seems nervous as Hazel joins him.
What time is it, Pinky?
Huh? Oh, 4:11, Mom.
I presume Mr. Higby will be prompt?
Oh, sure. He'll be on the button. He's a big businessman. He lives by the clock.
Are you sleepy?
I don't know. I keep yawning all the time.
That's nervousness.
Oh, I'm not nervous, Mom. Mr. Higby likes me. I've seen him 5 or 6 times now, and I get along with him fine.
It seems curious that your girl's father is coming here to talk to you, and we know so little about Eunice. I'm almost ashamed to tell him that I've never even seen her when my son seems to be engaged to her.
Well, when you're in college, you're so busy and away so much, you don't get a chance to introduce all your friends to your family. She's a fine girl, Mama. I think you're probably going to like her very much. She's a fine girl. I know the whole thing's kind of sudden. The proposal just kind of popped out of me. Well, 4:12 now. Well, let's both sit down. Oh, you are.
Tell me a little more about Eunice, Pinky, so I won't feel so utterly inadequate. Has she had lots of boyfriends?
Well, not as many as you'd think, with a yacht and a tennis court and all those cars and a swimming pool and a father that's a tycoon in the lumber business. Or girlfriends, either. I don't know. She's been kind of a lonely kid in spite of all her dough.
But you haven't yet told me very much about Eunice, Pinky. I don't care about her cars or the yacht or the swimming pool. What about Eunice?
Tall.
What?
She's tall, Mom. But let's not talk anymore. Let's just kind of collect our thoughts and everything because it's 4:13 already.
Just sit here in dead silence, you mean?
Well, this is a pretty important occasion and I want to be calm.
Yes.
Good gosh, she's early.
Oh.
Hey, Mom, look at that car out there with a chauffeur.
Quiet. Now, I'm going to let you handle this, Pinky. Go to the door and do it all properly.
Me? Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Higby.
Hello there, Pinky.
Won't you come in, Mr. Higby? Yes, come right in. Very nice to see you. Here, let me take your... This is my mother. Let me take your hat and coat.
Mrs. Murray?
Yes, Mr. Higby. How do you do? Won't you come in?
Now, I'll put your hat and coat right over here, Mr. Higby, where you can find him.
Close the door, Pinky.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Mom.
I've known of your family well and favorably for a great many years, Mrs. Murray.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, the name Henry Barber has been familiar to me ever since I was a young man, just getting started here in San Francisco.
Well, it's nice to hear. Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
My husband Dan, Mr. Murray, is very familiar with your achievements, too. He took our daughter, Margaret, for a drive. Dan and I haven't told Margaret, Pinky, and Eunice's plans yet. We thought we'd wait a little while.
I see. Well, Pinky?
Yes, sir.
You're looking well.
Oh, yes, Mr. Higby. Oh, I'm great. I feel just fine.
You feel up to a little private talk with me, Pinky? I'm sure your mother would excuse us.
Oh, yes, of course.
I've always felt, Mrs. Murray, that the thing to do when you're up against anything that requires a decision or action, let me say, It's best to face right into it.
I know what you mean.
So often a man wastes time worrying and fretting when instant action would clear the decks for him and let him sleep at night.
Is that sort of a maxim in your business, Mr. Higby?
Yes, Pinky. In my business and my personal life, I make it a rule of thumb. So, if you wouldn't mind, Mrs. Murray?
Oh, not at all. Of course not. Take Mr. Higby into the den, Pinky.
Yeah, sure. Right this way, Mr. Higby.
Mrs. Murray, you will excuse me.
Surely. I'm sure we'll see eye to eye about a great many things, Mr. Higby.
I shouldn't be at all surprised.
Mr. Higby?
I'm coming, Pinky. Well, well, what a charming room.
I'll close the door and we can be comfortable. Well, I had a nice weekend on the yacht with Mrs. Higby and Eunice while you were up north, sir. Mm-hmm. Captain and I got very well acquainted. Oh, he's a fine fellow. And then Eunice came over the other night and we went out for a drive and, well, we decided, well, almost from the very first day we met at Stanford,
You fell in love.
Yes, sir. Mrs. Higby was telling me that you and she got married when you were quite young.
Well, not too young, Pinky. I was 26. She was just turning 20.
Oh.
Let's see. Now, how old are you?
I'm practically 19, Mr. Higby.
18, huh? And Eunice is 18. So we have two people, 18, wanting to get married. Now, that's where we start, isn't it?
Well, if you're going to say we're too young, Mr. Higby, I think there's a general misconception about when people mature.
I do, too, Pinky. A man's lucky if he's mature at 50. Very few are. Now then, let's see. You plan to finish your college career.
Oh, sure.
Oh, that's good. It's been one of my dreams that Eunice should complete her college. What are you taking at Stanford, Pinky?
I was taking economics, but I thought I'd switch to forestry next year and go into that.
Forestry?
Yes, sir. I'm very much interested in the lumber business.
Oh. Well, economics wouldn't have done you any harm, even in the lumber business. What sort of marks are you making, Pinky?
Marks?
Yes.
Marks. Well,
Yes?
I left Stanford, Mr. Higby.
Oh? Why?
Well, I flunked out.
Of Stanford?
Yes, sir. I'm switching to Cal next semester. My brother goes there, Hank, my twin brother.
I had hoped Eunice would continue at Stanford. I have a very high regard for the school. One of our greatest universities, no question about that. But be that as it may, what are you doing right now, Pinky?
Right now? Mr. Higby, I've been, temporarily, I'm working for my grandfather.
Mr. Henry Barber?
Yes.
I thought he's retired.
Oh, he has. I'm working for him in his garden.
Oh, I see.
Yes, I'm taking up a flagstone walk, and I'm going to put in bricks.
I've seen pictures of your grandfather's garden in the papers from time to time. He must think highly of you, as a landscape gardener, Pinky. Yes?
It was sort of a family situation. I owed him a little money, so I...
Oh? Yes, I remember. Eunice told me something about that. You have an obligation to your grandfather, and you're working it out. Well, that's very admirable. But that brings us, unhappily, to that tedious old subject of money, doesn't it?
Sir?
Money. I say that tedious old subject. I'm afraid you and I will have to discuss a very crass subject, man to man, Pinky.
Yes, sir?
You know very well that I wouldn't pry into your private affairs under any other circumstances.
Oh, no, sir.
But I must ask, you see, how do you propose to support a home and Eunice and still go to college?
My general idea was that I'd study forestry and really study it hard, Mr. Higby, and keep it all in the family, as it were, and
work up in my business.
Yes, I'd like that very much.
I see. Well, we always need young blood. But in the meantime...
Sir?
You see, Pinky, Eunice has no money of her own, only what I give her. And I'm sure that any young man she loved, and I presume she loves you, Pinky, any young man with the qualities of manliness and self-respect worthy of Eunice's love certainly wouldn't want to live on her father. Now, would he?
Oh, no.
Young people sometimes don't quite think things through, Pinky. Thinking is one of the hardest things the human race has to do. We avoid it if we can. Almost all of us. But stark reality every now and again brings us to the place where we actually have to sit down and think. And that's what I want you and Eunice to do. Beginning now.
Yes, sir.
I wouldn't stand in the way of Eunice's marriage, not for one minute. If you two, even at 18, want to get married, that's entirely up to you.
Oh, boy.
At the same time, for your own sakes, you would have to make the grade strictly on your own. Strictly on your own, right from the beginning. That would mean for you finding a job and enough money to support a wife. How could you do that? Marriage on a shoestring is difficult at best, Pinky.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you're interested in forestry and you want to go to work in one of my mills or the lumber camps, I'll start you at $35 a week and advance you exactly as you deserve and no faster. If you and Eunice love each other, and I assume that you do, you could marry then any time you were ready. I suppose you think it over, hmm?
Yeah. I'm going to have to do a lot of thinking, all right.
The Barbers will be back in just a moment. And now, attention all homemakers. There's a new and different household antiseptic on the market that is clear and stainless, practically painless, even when used full strength on cuts and scratches. And its name is Bactine. Let me spell that for you, because I'm sure you'll want to remember to get it at your drugstore. Bactine, Bactine, a new development in the field of antiseptics and germicides, a long stride from the old idea of germicides, and it's made by the makers of Alka-Seltzer. Bactine has so many uses in the home, you'll surely be amazed. Use Bactine freely on cuts, scratches, and abrasions. Use Bactine to relieve the discomfort and combat the infection of athlete's foot. Use Bactine as a household and sick room disinfectant and sanitizer. Yes, it's really a wonderful new product, this Bactine, with actually multiple uses. And we want you to try it at our risk on this double-your-money-back guarantee. Get a bottle of Bactine from your druggist. Try it in many different ways, according to the instruction sheets that come with it. Then, if you don't think Bactine is the finest general-purpose germicide you ever used, return the empty bottle to Miles Laboratories, tell why you don't like it, and you'll get double your money back. Remember, that's Bactine, spelled Bactine. Here's the family again.
Well, Pinky, what did Mr. Higby say?
Oh, gosh, Mom, he put me in a dilemma. I don't know what to do now. I gotta think.
Friends, remember, try Bactine, the marvelous new family antiseptic and general-purpose germicide. Get it on the no-risk guarantee of double your money back if you're not satisfied. Go to your drugstore and get a 30 or 70-cent bottle of Bactine. Try it for many of its amazing uses. Then, if you don't think Bactine is the finest product of its kind, if you don't find more uses for it than any other antiseptic you ever used, return the empty bottle to Miles Laboratories and get double your money back. Get Bactine right away. Bactine. Bactine. One Man's Family is brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. Monday, Pinky makes his decision. Chapter 16, Book 80. This is a Carlton E. Morse production, directed by Michael Raffetto.